the book of Psalms. And we come today to Psalm number 38, actually Psalm 37. And let's see, we begin our study in Psalm 37, verse 20. Psalm 37, verse 20. And we will go through Psalm 37 and into Psalm 38 as well. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. It is a prayer of David. It's all about trusting in the Lord. Let's begin our reading in verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be like the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke they shall consume away. And so the wicked are said to be the enemy of the Lord. God does not have a problem with anyone unless they are wicked. And let's face it, only a wicked person would have a problem with God. The Lord God is very easy to get along with. He is very kind and gracious and merciful. So a person has to work very hard to not get along with God. You have to choose of your own free will to not get along with him, to not get along with him. 21. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. A righteous person will give people good things when they don't even deserve those good things. A wicked person won't give someone the good that they deserve. And so a righteous person is like Jesus, who does good things for people who do not deserve it. A wicked person is like the devil, who does bad things to those who deserve better. 22. For such as are blessed by him shall inherit the earth, and they who are cursed by him shall be cut off. God's people will live in a new earth. Those who have no regard for God or no faith in God will never see the new earth. They will be cut off from all that is good, and they will experience only bad. 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. This speaks of Jesus. God delighted in Jesus because Jesus was a good man, and I mean good to the infinite degree. Jesus only and always did what the Father wanted, no more, nothing else. And the cross was a part of that. The cross was God's will, and therefore it was Jesus' will, even though it wasn't fun. God the Father and God the Son both wanted to save sinners from hell, and the cross was the only way to do it. So it was the Father's will, and it was also Jesus' will. But let's look at this verse again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. It goes along with the New Testament verse, which says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Through Jesus Christ, we can delight God. We can make God happy. By doing right, we cause God to say that we are delightful. As hard as that may be to understand, it's true. We bless God when we behave ourselves. We bless God when we behave ourselves, and he's willing to forgive us when we don't. What a deal. I guess it's God's cash for clunkers program. We're the clunkers, and God's love is the cash. We're the clunkers, and Jesus' death on the cross is the cash. 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. It's talking about the righteous person. We can fall, but we will not be utterly cast down. God's faithful can experience trouble, but remaining faithful ensures that it will not destroy us. We can't lose if we don't quit. If we cannot lose if we don't quit on Jesus, you know, all God asks from us is that we have faith in Christ. If we trust Him, He will give us the final victory. That's what's needed. 25. David writes, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, Christians may not always have everything the way they want it exactly, but that doesn't mean God doesn't care about them. Hard times for God's people are not a sign that God has forsaken them. The fact is, sometimes God uses hard things, unpleasant things, to accomplish some greater good in us or through us. It doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. 26. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Talking about God's righteous person. This is a description of him. A good person who delights in God and who God delights in is a merciful person. They are givers, not takers. They are helpful. And when children have parents like that, they are blessed, whether they realize it or not. They are blessed. If for no other reason than because God has given them a moral compass and a wonderful example to pattern their life from, which a lot of young people do not have today. 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil and do good. Departing from evil is good. It's certainly better than doing evil. But departing from evil is only partial obedience. Doing good after departing from evil, that is complete obedience. You know, if I stop telling lies and I stop taking God's name in vain, that's good. If I stop lying and taking God's name in vain, plus I speak the word of God and words of kindness and encouragement to others, well, that's complete obedience, as commanded here in verse 27. There is a bad, there is a spiritual neutral, and there is good. And God wants us to go forward with Him. It's not enough to just stop going backwards. It's not enough just to stop doing bad. He wants us to go forward and start doing good. So God would say, get out of reverse and don't be content to idle in neutral, but put it in drive and floor it. That's what God is asking for right here. 28. For the Lord loves justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. God does not forsake his saints. He preserves them forever. Of course, just because God doesn't forsake us, that doesn't mean that we aren't free to walk away from Him. We are free to walk away from Him. He will never walk away from us, but we can walk away from Him. God gives us the grace to have faith in Christ, and He also gives us the free will to continue in that faith or walk away from it, whichever we choose. 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Well, are you detecting a pattern in the last few verses? I am. In the last few verses, God has told us to depart from evil and do good and, as a result, dwell forever. He also said that the wicked will be cut off and that the righteous shall inherit the land. Now, depart from evil, do good, dwell forever. The righteous shall inherit the land. It sort of sounds like if we aren't good, then we won't make it. Yeah, it sort of sounds like that because that's what God is saying. And no, we cannot earn our way to heaven by doing good. I have to say that often. And yet the New Testament says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And that is because holiness and faith go together. We're saved by faith, But holiness and faith goes together. Those who don't care about God, those who don't live for God, will be cut off. There is no salvation without holiness. 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The mouth of the righteous would naturally speak wisdom, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our soul is the wellspring of our words. If there's holiness in our soul, our words will be good and worth listening to. 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is in his heart. That's why none of his steps will slip. The law of God, the word of God, is in his heart, and therefore his steps are secure. The thoughts we put into our soul will eventually guide our choices, our words and our actions, and our attitudes. That's why the Bible says we are to guard our hearts. Be careful what you listen to, and what you read, and what you watch, and what you look at. The world's godless ideas are bound to contaminate our soul. But by filling our souls with God's word, we can neutralize the world's contamination. 32. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. And this is exactly what happened with Jesus. The religious rulers, the wicked religious rulers, watched him, watched for an opportunity to arrest him. And bad people sometimes watch and plan for the best time to attack the innocent, to take advantage of them. They're like wild beasts who stalk their prey. That's why it's said that women who walk by themselves should not walk the same route at the same time every day. Someone could be watching. Somebody could be planning. 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. God often tolerates temporary injustices on his people. Jesus said, these things must needs be, but right will prevail for God's people in the end. 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and you'll see the wicked cut off. When we are confused over the success of evildoers, we are instructed to keep trusting the word of God and keep on doing what is right. That takes faith in the word of God. And it all boils down to this, really. Do we believe God when he says that we will be blessed if we hang in there with him to the end or not? Do we believe that or don't we? If we don't believe God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to jump ship and act like the heathen and live for the things of this world. If we believe God, we will remain true to his word, even if we must endure the loss of temporary things in the process. 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a Green Bay tree. So he has seen bad people with no regard for God doing very well. As far as the things of this world are concerned, they seem to be doing very well. But notice verse 36, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. So he saw the wicked. He saw that they did pretty well. But then he saw those wicked people die. And when the godless die, they are no longer doing well. Death means the end of all happiness for those who reject Christ. 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Instead of envying the godless because they seem to be happy, Think about the righteous one, the good one, the moral person who loves Jesus Christ and lives for him. Don't envy the wicked. Think about the righteous one and make your goal to be like him, because he will forever be happy, while the bad person is going to suffer without end. 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. God will destroy people who do not obey him. God will cut them off from anything that is good. 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. God makes righteous people safe. He makes us righteous in Christ. He gives us the grace to act righteously. And then he makes us safe on the day of judgment because we are righteous. And so clearly God deserves all the credit, doesn't he? Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. If we trust in Christ, then it's only a matter of time before God delivers us from everything that is bad. Psalm 38, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. Boy, if God punished us in a rage, we'd be in hell for sure immediately. It's a good thing that God isn't hot-headed, or the entire human race would be in hell and would have been there a long time ago. 2. For your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand presses me greatly. Well, you know, God does not hate his children when they do wrong. Nevertheless, he does discipline his children in a painful way. Those are the arrows that David speaks of right here. 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. God doesn't hate us, and he doesn't blow his top when we sin, but our sin does make him angry. It does make us angry. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. And that's David talking. He's a child of God, but God was angry at him. Parents love their children, but their disobedience still makes them angry. And sin is the only thing that makes God angry. 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Satan tempts people with sinful pleasures. But then, once those sins are committed, they become a heavy weight. Sin promises satisfaction, but every single time, without exception, it delivers oppression and failure. 5. My wounds are repulsive and corrupt because of my foolishness. The writer is paying for his foolishness. He's paying for his sinful foolishness. He sinned because he was self-centered, and now that same sin is making him repulsive to himself. 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. His sin was weighing him down. There is no spring in the step of one who is suffering for their sin. 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. The eternal punishment for a Christian's sin has been paid for by Christ. You won't go to hell if you're a Christian. But those who say that Jesus also took the temporal punishment for us would do well to pay attention to what Scripture says right here. David is getting a real good whooping for the sins that he has committed, and he knows it. And we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick it up in verse 8 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.